Hey, everybody. Welcome to another First Run Bald Movies. Jim and I saw Creed 2, the sequel, the follow-up to Creed, the latest in the Rocky Stallone and, I guess, Adonis Creed. I don't know even how many movies we are up to now. Seven, eight, a million. It was directed by Stephen Capel, or maybe Capel Jr., which kind of shocking because I thought the Coogler was going to come and Coogle us up again. Kind of yeah. Shocked to see the credits roll and it wasn't him. Of course, Michael B. Jordan, Sly Stallone, Tessa Thompson return. Jim, what did you think of this movie?
I thought it was perhaps better than the first Creed, which I really liked. Probably good. Probably really good, actually.
Yeah, man. I gotta say, I'm kind of in the tank for this film because yeah. I haven't seen Creed, and it was a huge oversight. It's one of those things where it kind of got away from me, and then I kind of set it up on a shelf for like a special occasion, mm-hmm. and it started gathering dust, and it's like one of those things. And, you know, I literally, with zero time left on the clock last night, sat down to watch Creed. Had a great time. Couldn't mm-hmm. believe how good that movie was and how deft they handled the transition between, you know, Rocky and passing the torch to Apollo Creed's son. And even like how, you know, enough time had passed that I'd forgotten all the little whispers and stuff I heard about the movie. And I just felt like everything just worked just beautifully in that movie. And this, I cannot believe they took a movie that I love, but will freely admit is hokey as shit, Rocky IV, and mine that fucker for a heart and soul yeah. and put it all in this movie, and I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was so good.
Yeah, I thought when they revealed the premise of this movie, which you know if you've seen the trailers, right? This is right. No surprise to anybody. It's essentially the rehash of Rocky IV. When I first realized that, I was like, oh no, I'm actually going to hate this movie because they're essentially going to try a Star Wars here, but they're not going to do it as well. And I'm going to be disappointed. That turned out to completely not be true. And actually all of the stuff they do with that premise is 10 times better than it has any right to be, really.
Really? It does. It does. It's one of the good bad Rocky films, you know. Like uh-huh. first Rock, two five Rocky films are legitimately great films. Three yeah. and four are fun and good, but bad also.
Okay,
Rocky five is just terrible. And then Balboa kind of has returned to that form. And I'm just amazed. Now I will say that my enjoyment of this film was greatly enhanced by about a dozen old dudes in the theater. That every single emotional beat landed had a nice and it was it was great. Like Creed's mom, you know, after he announces he's going to fight the son of the man who killed his father. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you don't abandon your child the way your father did you. You know, Creed's pissing blood the next morning after a big fight. It's so good, man. Every single time, like, you know, Creed would say something to devastate Balboa, there'd be three or four guys. It's so good. I love it. It's great.
Yeah, there did seem to be an air about the theater, for sure. Yeah. It was, people were cheering, people were clapping at the big moments. This is what Rocky inspires in people, you know? The first couple of movies, especially that first movie, it's just... Yeah. So good. And then I absolutely loved Rocky Balboa. I thought that was like the return to form that the series needed desperately and the heart that it needed and had been missing for a while. Mm-hmm. This movie brought that in spades and everyone felt it.
Yeah, and it's got some like that sly, I didn't mean to use that pun, but it's there, that kind of sly humor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like situational humor. You're not situational like laugh track funny, but just this, you know, like a person being in a situation and what they're saying and you know, like things are very relatable. The birth of a child, proposing to someone you love, you know, disappointing a father figure, like all that stuff is good and it works. And there's always like the, you know, the boxing humor where like they're getting up for a montage and the coaches are like saying a bunch of cool shit and. Mm-hmm. I just really had a great time. I think if you have any affection at all any affection at all for the Rocky series, that, and if you're like Jim and I, because I felt the same way as you did, man. I thought, ooh, going back to Rocky IV, that's a deep well, and I'm not sure what you're going to find at the bottom of it, but there generated some chills in the theater for me.
Yeah, and make no mistake, this movie is formulaic as fuck, but yeah, it's the Rocky formula, which is actually really, really good. Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar with the Rocky movies, you know what you're in for here, but it's a really, really good one.
You know, it's funny, though, and that's not even really a criticism because it's a fucking Rocky film, but I felt like the boxing in Creed was pretty sound until like the last stages of the last fight, when
right,
it's back to the Rocky heydays of no one does any defense. It's just trading haymaker after haymaker. Mm. The kind of fight that you never, ever, ever see in real life. I felt like Creed 2 was very much in a Rocky 3 mode of just video game boxing almost the whole way through.
Yeah.
Which I've mixed feelings about, but it does generate some excitement, and it's you know, the boxing is kind of like it's so funny in the Rocky films, because the boxing is kind of after the point. Like, they do just a lot of like pastiches, like of guys getting punched and blood squirting out of their mouth and title cards coming. It's like they don't even care about the boxing that much.
Yeah.
I wish they sweat the details a little bit, but what are you gonna do? Also, Michael B. Jordan, holy shit. Like, every time I see this guy in a movie, he gets twice as big.
Okay.
Like, he was ridiculous in the first Creed. He was super ridiculous in Black Panther. Mm-hmm. He's in Creed 2 in the best shape of his life. It's incredible. And the guy that he's fighting against, who I don't know, Dolph Lundgren's kid. It's not his real kid, obviously.
Yeah.
But I guess his name's Florian Muntaunu. This guy needs to be in a lot of movies. This guy needs to play the big bad in every movie from here until the next 10, 15 years. Because he is just, I thought Dolph Lundgren was scary as a kid. This guy is like, he ate Dolph Lundgren.
Right.
And all the steroids that were coursing through his body back in the 80s. And it's, he literally looks like the son of two super people, which, as far as I can tell, was what you're supposed to believe.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything else we want to say that's non-spoilery about the film?
Not that wouldn't spoil the shit out of it, no.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's going to be one of those. And you know what? You know if you're going to see this movie or not. And if you're downloading this podcast at all, you know you're going to see it, and I almost promise you're going to have a good time. So let us talk about some trailers, and because there was a couple of ones, there's a bunch of new ones, and I think some even ones that weren't new, maybe it's the first time we've both seen it and we can kind of talk about them intelligently. For example, Alita Battle Angel. Did you see that? What'd you think?
It doesn't look awful.
It kind of gives me a little Matrix vibe.
Matrix with androids. Yeah.
I mean, not that interesting, but just the feel of like, this might be one of those movies that gives you visuals you might not have seen before.
Yeah. And maybe has, you know, a little bit of a thinking cap on too, which I'm all for, you know, exciting, visually interesting movies that make me think. Cool.
Yeah. Looks like a good cast, an interesting premise. On the other side of the uncanny valley, CGI special effects. I'm cautiously optimistic. Moving on, Aquaman. You saw this trailer before, right?
Not this one, actually.
Okay.
I want to say this was a new one, and it actually looked a lot better. I didn't notice the weird bullshit CG stuff that I was noticing from the first one.
Okay, because I mean, there's a little bit. There is a DC look. It's kind of overly busy. It's the in comic book terms, the lines aren't clean, they're busy, there's kind of unnecessary lines. But I was going to call you out a little bit, because like, I didn't think this movie looked terrible. I thought this movie looks like it could go, I don't think it could be bad, although maybe. But I thought, I'm kind of down to see this movie. The floor is pretty low, but the ceiling modestly high.
Yeah, it's weird. The first one had a lot more schools of fish that were all like CG, and a lot more just animated battle sequences. And this one stuck a little more to the heart of the story, you know, which I think is actually the most engaging part of it. So yeah, if they can bring some kind of heart to this and not just flood me with CG and action sequences, I might be in.
Yeah, because I know what you mean, because, like, honestly, a lot of that big monster stuff that's going into, like, the third act of the trailer, I'm like, that's just kaiju. Like, I'm pretty sure they just copy and pasted kaiju assets from Pacific Rim. So, I the other thing that I thought was amazing, this is the first time ever I've seen Aquaman's classic uniform look badass.
Oh, right, yeah. The orange and green.
Yeah, and it's super, it's shocking. It's just as shocking as if Hugh Jackman had rolled out in Wolverine's, like, bright yellow and blue pajamas, and that would look cool. Because, like, you know, they were smart enough to know, like, now you put this guy in, like, a leather biker outfit with some orange piping to kind of, like, pay homage, but you never go full superhero. This thing is, I mean, it's a classic Aquaman look, and it looks badass.
Yeah, I mean, this is Jason Momoa ribbed for her pleasure. Essentially.
Yeah. Let's talk about The Intruder. This posits that the scariest thing in the world is... Shit, what's this guy's name? Fuck.
Fuck, I know it too.
Dennis Quaid.
Yes.
This movie posits that the scariest thing in the world is Dennis Quaid, who can't quite give up his house.
Yeah.
It looks silly, I think.
The premise is a little dumb for a horror movie, but there have been dumber ones.
It feels like, it kind of feels to me like, because, you know, you hear Jordan Peele got like five different movies greenlit after Get Out. It kind of feels like a Jordan Peele parody.
It's hilarious that you say that, because I finally watched Get Out like three nights ago or something.
Nice.
And that is the exact same thought that I had. I'm like, this feels a little bit like Get Out.
No, I thought, but kind of and fundamentally sillier. And so I don't know. Another movie, The Upside. This movie looks like garbage. Like, I'm embarrassed for everyone in this film. Now, maybe it's an Oscar contender, but it's that kind of Kevin Hart plays Kevin Hart. And he is underqualified to take care of a billionaire who is paralyzed from the neck down, played by Bryan Cranston. And it plays exactly like that trailer you'd think it will play. And I don't think it looks great.
Yeah, I don't really know what to think about this one. It could be like an interesting coming together of two very different people. If they play it right, it could be kind of heartfelt and light at the same time, but good, or it could just be a train wreck. I really don't know by this trailer which one it's going to be.
Yeah. Moving on to The Prodigy, which is a horror film set to come out early next year in February. It's not really a trailer so much as it was a 60-second teaser from the movie. I don't know what to think about it. It had a solid kind of jump scare, but that's the cheapest of all scares.
It is.
Out of context. Yeah. I wasn't super... It's another creepy child movie.
It had like a Damien sort of vibe to it, right? That kid.
Right. So it's probably a kid possessed by some soul of a serial killer. I don't know. I hear they're bringing back Chucky. Anything's possible. and then finally, another movie that looks just like... I mean, I shouldn't say it looks like hot garbage. It just looks like a movie that I want nothing to do with, and it's called Fighting With My Family. And it's apparently based on a true story about a brother and sister who grew up wanting to be wrestlers, and they get a chance to wrestle for the WWE. And I don't know. You like Glow. Are you excited?
No. I mean, I like Glow because it's a fun comedy. There's nothing about the wrestling in Glow that excites me.
I mean, the thing is, like, I don't hate wrestling, and I quite like the movie The Wrestler.
Oh, sure.
So... I don't know, it didn't look interesting. It's essentially like, and the gag is that, or not the gag, but the flip premise that they give away in a trailer is that the guy doesn't make the cut and it's just the girl. his sister. And there's like, it, I mean, I just felt like there's another one of those damn trailers that tells the whole fucking movie. So even if I was intrigued by the premise, I don't know that I need to see it, because I literally see every beat of the film, mm-hmm. every act telegraphed. So fighting with my family, fighting with your marketing department because you did a bad job. Honestly, I just want to get back to talking about Creed.
Okay,
so
let's do it.
That's all the trailers I saw in the movie theater tonight. Let's talk spoilers about Creed 2, Jim.
All right, you got it. If you listened past that and you have not seen this movie and you don't want to be spoiled, you got to shut it off right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm about to talk about maybe the most important development in the entire Rocky series to date.
Okay.
Here it is. Shut it off. I think this is Rocky's last movie. I think this is Sylvester Stallone's last movie in the Rocky series.
I thought that about Balboa.
Yeah, so, but there's the passing of the torch here at the end of this movie.
You're not wrong.
And they, ooh, the camera is telling me a lot there.
I gotta say this. I kind of thought maybe he died in between films. The way I thought it was brilliant, the way they shot Creed, like in the locker room doing the pre-fight, and they have this weird angle where, Sylvester Stallone is way off in the distance, but talking close to him, and he's out of focus. And I'm like, oh, this is like the ghost of Rocky, or not the ghost, but like the memory of him. And you're going to find out that, you know, they're going to pass a torch to Ed Wood as the son of Duke, or the nephew Duke, or whatever, whoever the hell he is. And they're going to get rid of Stallone. But then, you know, it's a really cool shot how he's walking and you find out it's like a full length mirror. And then he appears, you know, on the other side of it, and he's right there by Adonis. Mm-hmm. I thought throughout that the first goings of the movie that maybe that they were going to write him out, but you're right. That kind of hat tilt and saying it's your turn, it's your time now, kid. Like, I'm too old for this shit. There's going to be a third grave, and your Paul. And Adonis is going to talk to his old man and Polly and Rocky and Adrian as mm-hmm. Force ghosts in Creed 3. Because there's got to be a Creed 3.
Yeah, I would think so. I just don't know if it's going to have Sylvester Stallone in it.
Although I'll make an argument for like maybe not, because you're going to have to come up with an original boxing story now. and unless you want to fight
Clubber Lang,
unless you want to like just beat the shit out of the one bad Rocky film, I don't know. I don't know where you go. And I kind of think this might be, because here's the thing: the first two Rockies are great, but they're old and they're slow. They're not as engaging as a watch as you might remember. Three's still fun. Four's still fun. Rocky 1 and Rocky 2 is a little rough for me. I think this might be my new favorite Rocky film.
Wow. See, 1 is still my favorite. I mean, 1...
There's no denying his greatness.
Yeah. It's for me, I guess 1 has never been about like the speed at which the story takes place or how fun it is. You know, it's more about this underdog story and the heart that it has. And that's the heart of the Rocky series, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Is just the plain and simple heart. Like Sylvester Stallone as Rocky is it's weird to say, but I almost think like he is teaching men how to be men, mm-hmm. like how to be like a modern good person.
Mm-hmm.
Even back in, you know, the 70s when this shit was being made originally, I feel like he had an idea of what a person should be like, you know, how they should treat others, how they should respect themselves, how they should pick their battles, you know, not get into unnecessary fights, but fight when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of heart wrapped up in Rocky, and man, they really know when to turn the fucking Rocky switch on in this movie.
Yeah.
There's the moment, you know, where Creed knocks down Drago's kid, Victor. And they start up that Rocky anthem. I'm like, oh,
that's what I'm talking about.
And then Michael Jordan's standing there like flexing and going, yeah. And it's fucking awesome because of everything that he's been through, right? Everything you know is going on in his head, not just because he threw a cool punch.
Right. And did they do the full on like that soaring Rocky theme in the first Creed? Like, I think,
I don't remember it.
I think that I don't think they did. I think they flirted with those themes, like when you know he was running, you know, because they did their own twist on all the Rocky stuff. Like, you know, instead of running with all the kids, he ran with all the kids, but they're on like dirt bikes and quads and doing popping wheelies and shit. And they played the a little bit of the kind of, but like a variation of that theme. But yeah, when he got himself off the mat and knocked Drago down, and they started that shit up. That's the moment that I got the biggest chills, because it just all came together, past, present, future. It's like all came into one, and it was it was overwhelming. And here's the other thing.
Yeah,
I felt legitimately bad for Victor Drago.
Yeah, you're supposed to. That's actually really well done. Yes. Surprisingly.
And we, I think we talked about this because, you know, we did Rocky and the Badass, we did Rocky IV and the Badass Christmas just like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about how in retrospect, like, you know, Drago really gets a bum deal here.
Mm-hmm.
And they really play that straight where Mother Russia turned its back on its fallen hero after he got defeated by the capitalist devil Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
His wife left him. And this kid has been fed a steady diet of hate, regret, and shame, and abuse by his father. And I felt terrible. Like, I almost wanted, because at this point in the film, Adonis has everything. He's got his girl. He's got his new baby girl. He's got his mom. He's got Rocky. He's the champion. He's got money. He's in prime physical condition. He like literally has everything, and all Drago has is the chance to reclaim his father's glory.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point I thought like this movie might actually have Donnie realize that and maybe like take a knee or take a fall or something, because it's just like the whole film was like, what are you fighting for? What is the important thing? And I respected the movie a lot, because that would have been like, I think, almost too syrupy, right?
Yeah, I could see that.
But the fact that was kind of in the air, I thought was amazing. And the fact that I was just openly just feeling so bad for this poor kid. And the moment where, like, Drago Sr. is trying to tell, like, after all the years that he spent telling him that he's worthless, unless he's, like, trying to take all that back because he sees, like, now the horror. Like, oh, my God, it's happening again. Your mother's like, Jesus Christ. What's her name? Bridget something or other?
Who?
His mother, the real severe physical specimen of a woman.
Yeah, from Rocky IV, right?
From Rocky IV. Her name's Bridget something or other.
I don't know her name.
She still looks... I mean, she was never quite to my taste, but my God, it's like they froze her in amber or something. When she gets up and takes off with her Russian handlers, like, I felt that gut punch.
Yeah, yeah.
I was one of those dudes going, you're going to be pissing blood tomorrow, Victor. But yeah, I thought that was amazing, because I've never really felt for a Rocky villain, you know, because Creed's always kind of like he's over the hill. He's kind of a buffoon anyway, and like a showman, and he's like a cartoon character, and, you know, Mr. T, I mean, shit, he is a cartoon character. And then Drago he was genetically designed in a 1980s propaganda lab to be hateable by the average American. But man, I just felt so sorry for this kid.
Yeah, I do wonder what they're going to do with him, because the end of the movie to me indicates they're going to bring him back, because they show him jogging with Dolph Lundgren at the end, kind of, you know, just staying in shape, training. I don't know what he's training for, but I have a feeling that they could become the new Rocky and Creed kind of thing. Mm. Like, because, you know, in the end of Rocky IV, there's a mutual respect, which is a little bit weird, right? Like, Ivan Drago and Rocky Balboa slug the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
And Rocky beats him, but there's a respect that Ivan finds for Rocky in that fight.
Yeah.
Which kind of surprised me that they came back with all this hate. Like, why does he blame Rocky so much, or does he blame himself more?
I think that I was confused as you when it was clear they're playing that, like, Drago hates Rocky. I'm like, I thought that, like, you know, maybe I could change, maybe you could change. Like, I bought in on all that shit. But I think that they told a story of the fact that, like, it seemed like he was everything. Everyone turned their back on him. Like, he's living in this shitty Soviet era apartment, and they have nothing. And like, he lost everything. And like, no matter how much respect you might have earned for your opponent, like, for 30 years, thinking you could be like royalty or you could be the celebrated hero, and instead you're like the symbol of everything that went wrong with maybe the former Soviet Union. I don't know. But I felt like they kind of, you know, his wife left him, and all of his promoters and friends, all that, like, they just all deserted him. Like, I guess I could see how that would, over the years, really stick in your craw, and you pour all that frustration and all that ambition that was thwarted into this son, who he is even, like, he's just a bigger, badder-ass version of you.
Right. I do like that there are a lot of sort of echoes and parallels here in the film. Like, you look at, you know, you describe this Soviet bloc era apartment that Dolph Lundgren and his kid are living in. I should say Ivan Drago and his kid. But then you look at Rocky's apartment, right? It's no better.
Yeah.
But Rocky has a fundamentally different view of himself, right?
He's not a champ.
Yeah, but I think Rocky comes away from that fight either way with a fundamentally different view of himself.
Yeah.
I think Ivan Drago was fighting for the wrong reasons. Rocky was fighting for the right reasons, and that's something he can be proud of. So whether he won or lost, I think he comes away from that knowing he did his best, right? Which is what he tells Creed, essentially, like, what are you fighting for?
Yeah.
And we look at what that other guy's fighting for. That's another sort of parallel with Creed is, you know, Creed is fighting for his family. Victor is fighting for his family, right? They're both fighting for things. And it's amazing to me, like, you know, how they make you kind of come to that realization during the fight, almost. There's a stretch of the fight where you're just like, oh, yeah, kick his ass, Creed, kick his ass. And then, you know, he looks over and sees his mom leaving, and it's like, oh, maybe don't kick his ass.
Yeah.
You start to feel bad.
He's been broken.
Yeah, no, that's good. The one thing I think this movie is missing that Rocky 1 has, which I think is why I like it better still than any of the other Rockies, is some kind of Yo Adrian. Like, Rocky had very much like this catchphrase. I know it's a little silly to say, but it meant so much in the context of the movie, right? Where he could just shove his fist in the air and shout Yo Adrian, and we got everything that he was trying to say.
Right.
And I just feel like this movie is one step away from being as powerful as Rocky 1 to me.
Well, so here, I got a couple, because I see what you're saying, but I think that, in my opinion, like, Rocky has always been, I've understood him as like an 80 IQ kind of guy.
Sure.
So, like, you know, where Michael B. Jordan, like, even Rocky says that in the first Creed, is like, you don't have to fight, kid. You've got, you know, you've got smarts and brains and money. Looks and charisma and money. And, like, you don't have to do this. Like, I had to, because what else was I going to do? Rough up dudes at the dock, you know, to make ends meet? It's like, I had to do this. Where I think they paid a little bit of homage, because I noticed that, like, B says, yo, like, she's the one that's reduced to, like, when he proposes, she can't say anything but yo. Like, I thought that they were kind of playing with that dynamic, because that's the other upgrade, I think, in this franchise, is Adrian is a suck character. She's terrible. I hate her. I don't understand why her and Rocky are together, whereas in this, you know, Donnie's girl, B, she's got her own shit going on. You know, she's successful in her own right. She's not just waiting at home, you know, making meatballs or whatever the hell Adrian does. She's got her own thing, and she's kind of like a much more powerful character with her, you know, like Adrian's only ability was to guilt Rocky into not fighting something. Whereas I thought it was refreshing, honestly, the way it was played in this movie is like, both Creed's mother and lover were both like, yeah, we think you shouldn't do this, but you're a grown man. What are we going to do? You can't be stopped.
Right.
And
right.
That's like such a refreshing way to handle that, I thought.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I'm with you.
I also thought it was really interesting how they engineered it, because when we got to the mid movie, it's like, okay, well, shit, we're just going to go right to the Drago fight. And obviously Like, it would seem weird for Drago to win, and then he's got to win the belt back. But like, or like, I also didn't believe they're going to go to distance. I thought it was pretty clever to have Drago get so excited that he essentially committed a boxing sin.
Yeah, yeah.
And punched a guy while he was down to beat. So you know, that's a perfect way to have to have Creed be beaten utterly.
Yeah,
but also have him retain the champion crown.
No, it kind of smacks of, you know, Rocky losing the first fight technically, mm-hmm. but actually kind of winning it overall, right, because he just stood his ground. He
went
the
distance,
went all 12 rounds. Yeah,
yeah. And I thought that was a pretty clever way. I really liked how they played, like, the trauma of it's not just a physical conditioning, but it's a mental and emotional conditioning of a fighter that takes a bite, that takes a mm-hmm. beating, especially when you get beaten that badly. And, you know, something that, like, Donnie had to dig real deep to find, like, what is he actually fighting for? And I think that's, like, we were kind of playing around with this, but you realize in the end of the very last fight that Drago is fighting for his dad mm-hmm. and Adonis isn't. And he says as much when he has, like, a, you know, pretty effective graveside meeting where he goes and meets, you know, where the final resting place of Apollo Creed mm-hmm. and, you know, has these conversations. They really do a good job of using Apollo's likeness. Like, every single time that Adonis pulls up to the gym that's got his father, you know, looking off into the distance of his head, like, it's kind of a moment. And they play with that, like, you know, him trying to get out from under the shadow of his father.
Yeah.
And the fear of, like, you know, not thinking that you belong, you're like, and the way they played when he finally was the champion, like, it's something he didn't believe himself, or he didn't quite feel like he earned it, or there's just really a lot of great beats.
Yeah, and I really love, speaking of, you know, the things he's fighting for, I really love that final fight where they have B come out and do her song to bring him into the ring. I thought that was really cool
because she's in his corner. Yeah,
exactly. And then Rocky's there right beside him. The light shows
so
that they
cool.
put on were so fucking awesome.
Yeah,
especially that first one with all the triangular kind of like starlight kind of effect and all these patterns. It was really cool.
I liked how the, like, lights made it look like it was a cage match. Like when the match was about to begin, they descended to kind of, like, make bars on it. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was super cool. It was super cool. I really liked how they played the tension of Rocky abandoning Creed, because, like, I just can't mm-hmm. I can't train you to fight this guy.
Yeah,
like,
I feel it.
The cosmic karma, if I got Apollo Creed's son killed by the son of the man who killed him, I just can't do it. You can't ask me to do it, kid.
No.
It was great. And then, you know, the one thing, it's like, why did Rocky change his mind? Because he knew the kid, he knew the kid wasn't going to be talked out of it, and him and Duke's son together was his best chance at actually, prevailing.
I think that's a big chunk of it. I was sitting there in the movie trying to decipher exactly what was going on there, mm-hmm. And I think it'll take at least another watch to mm-hmm. for me to really understand it. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this movie works on, and you know, something is, like, Cecily and I talked about in Way Home. She goes, I think I feel like I know what it now feels like to be a man watching a girl film that's, like, about a girl who's, like, you know, becoming a princess, and she's getting all of her dresses, and she's there's lots of that movie that I just didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, like, yeah, because a lot of that movie works on an emotional, like, masculine tonal level that, I, like you said, it's like, it all tracked clean emotionally why Rocky turned the corner and started training him.
Yeah.
But I can't quite articulate. It just felt right.
No, there's some level of pride and strength.
Like,
and
if he'd have been gung-ho, like, yeah, let's kick this guy's ass from the beginning, that wouldn't have felt right.
Yeah.
And, like, the kind of, like, quasi-betrayal and, like, the hurtful things. Because, like, you know, they've definitely made Rocky be a surrogate father figure.
Uh-huh.
And the shit that Creed said to Rocky when he kind of turned his back on him was some cold, like, generated a lot of and from the audience,
right?
Because those blows landed
for sure.
But yeah, it felt really good. And man, Sly Stallone is so good at playing. Again, Rocky's always been kind of a dumb guy, but now you're supposed to understand he's kind of punchy. Like, I thought it was really poignant when he said, "You know, when I fought Drago, he broke things in me that still ain't fixed. Like, like this guy never was a genius, and now he's like kind of punch drunk. And but he plays that so well, that kind of slow, slurry, you know, slightly unfocused eyes, but still wise. Like, he's not smart, but he's just incredibly wise. But the other thing is, he had his own fucking arc that somehow, since the days of Balboa, him and his son have soured again. And there was some genuine, like, you know, like when he's trying to say, like, to Adonis, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And Adonis can turn it right back. It's like, well, why are you ducking your son?
Yeah.
You got a grandson that's like 5 years old, Rock, and you haven't been to see him? What the fuck's wrong with you?
No, and I love the sort of opposing parallel stories here because, you know, he's going back to meet his grandson for the first time, right? And at the same time, it, cutting back and forth between those scenes, Creed is introducing Apollo to his granddaughter.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like just this beautiful symmetry that they somehow managed to squeeze into this really thematically packed movie.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And yeah, it's the movie. It's interesting pacing because like everything outside of the fight scenes are kind of slow, but it never felt boring. It always is very absorbing. And just like watching these characters kind of wrestle with like, you know, what their identity and what it means to them to be a man in this position that they're in. I thought it was really great seeing this, like, oh man, that scene where B and Donnie find out that their daughter's probably going to inherit their mother's, you know, being deaf.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great, like, really smart moment. And like Rocky kind of mentoring his way through that. And I also thought it was kind of weird that, I don't know, I've never been a parent in that situation, that, like, you know, I didn't understand why Tessa Thompson's character, B, I don't understand why she was as shook about her daughter being deaf, because, you know, obviously she is, and she's badass and has overcome all that. I mean, maybe it's just the, like, you know, as a parent, you never want to pass any kind of flaw on, like, any kind of emotional, physical flaw. And the fact that she's dead is kind of, like, intrinsically sad, maybe.
Yeah, and I think she's also staring down a future where she is going to lose the thing that she loves, which is the ability to make her music.
Right.
And that's such an important thing, right? Like, there's that scene where, you know, Adonis is telling her, I got to go fight Victor again. I got to do it. And she's like, well, why do you really need to do it? Like, is this who you are? Do you need to be that person? He's like, well, you wouldn't be able to breathe without your music. Right. So I feel like that's part of what's going on in her head with her daughter, is saying, man, she could have something in her life that she loves, but it won't be possible for her. Or if it is possible, it might not be long for her. Because she's going through that herself, right?
Yeah. One other weakness of the movie. This has got one of my least favorite training, big fight training montages.
The desert?
Going training? Out to the desert doing CrossFit was lame.
He's hitting the ground with the sledgehammer, man. What do you want?
Yeah, he's flipping tires. I mean, the thing that saved it was just Michael B. Jordan's fucking dogged performance of him falling down and picking himself up on that dusty desert road. But I was like, when I heard they're going back to Russia, I'm like, fuck yeah, we're going to be climbing mountains again. We're going to be yoking up ox carts and doing all kinds of crazy shit. Or like, what's the 2018 equivalent of that?
I think it's still flipping tires, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. And then it's like, he's slugging it out with, I guess, amateur boxers and MMA fighters. And it just never felt like I don't know. That training montage, I was a little disappointed in. But I don't know. It's like, goddamn, they've done 10 of these things now. And it wasn't, you know, like that, but that's one of the greatest moments of all the Rocky films, because Rocky films can twist and turn and kind of lose their way. But whenever, you know, Mick says, all right, it's time to train or whatever, and they start the Rocky, the Rocky music up, it's always a good time. And this one,
it's specifically number four. I mean, number four has one of the best training sequences, in my opinion, because he's out of his element, and they tried to go for that again in this one, but it didn't quite have the same effect, maybe because they've already done it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to beat Sly Stallone running flat out in hot pants down a beach.
I think there was and then
hugging Apollo, and then hugging Apollo, who is also buck naked except for hot pants. It's hard to beat that montage.
For sure. Yeah, Top Gun came close, but
what else we want to say?
I don't know. I'm in for a Creed 3 if they do it.
I think you're right. And the thing is, like, they built up Wood Harris's character as the son. I can't remember if he's either the son or nephew of Duke. They kind of built him so where I think he can step into that Sly Stallone, but like, mm-hmm. you know, they've really made Creed and Rocky's relationship kind of special. I think what they need to do is Rocky dies in Creed 3, just like Mick.
He gets back in the ring. He gets in the ring with Victor. He's going to go out with one last glory fight, and then he ends up dead.
Just for an exhibition. I'm a 70-year-old man.
Hey, he
still,
did it in Rocky
cycles, okay? But here's the one thing I want to talk about. For a split second, I thought Sly and Dolph were going to trade punches in the ring. Because, like, you know, Drago, like, Victor's pulling some shit, and Creed was getting chippy, and then, like, Sly's, like, you know, push shove him, like, hey, what's going on? I thought you're going to see an old man battle.
That would have been awesome.
You're going to get old man undercard.
At least a couple of punches.
The restraint the film had not to do that.
Yeah. Now, here's what we need for Creed 3. The son of Mr. T. No, I was going to go one better. I think if Rocky Balboa gets back in the ring one last time to fight Tommy Gunn, then and the robot. It's a tag team event.
Oh, God.
Tommy Gunn and the robot.
Tommy Gunn kills Rocky.
Right.
And Drago and his son have to come out of Russian boxing retirement to train Creed on how he can build up hurting bombs.
Yeah, to take out Tommy Gunn. Sure, I love it.
Yeah, okay. That's definitely a direction it can go. But yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be hard to replace Rocky if they decide to go. Although, again, if they end Rocky here, they're honestly playing with fire. They're going to hit a Rocky V bump here if they keep fucking around with this shit.
Yeah.
But you know, Michael B. Jordan can, Jesus Christ, like, it's too bad he was Killmonger in Black Panther, because I kind of want to see him be a superhero again, but it's like one of those things where I don't think you get second chances other than who's the Captain America?
Chris Evans. Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, he flamed that as a human torch and came back as Cap. But yeah, Michael Jordan, he needs to star in a shit ton of action. He needs to take the next 10 years and you just have the career The Rock decided he didn't want to have.
Right.
Because I think he's a better actor and more charismatic too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I've had a Arnold Schwarzenegger shaped hole in my heart for low these last two decades, and I think Michael B. Jordan can step in there and fill it.
I did think it was a little weird that they let these two boxers fight, because holy shit, is Victor so far outside of his weight class.
But
Victor's
that's the thing.
Like, six inches. Ivan was too, but like,
well, plus it's heavyweight. Like, I don't, like, once you get to that class,
I thought there was
like
super heavyweight stuff, wasn't there?
Is there?
But that's like a huge jump, I think.
Yeah. I don't know if that's an actual, but I just assume, like, once you got the heavyweight, that's it. It's like you can literally fight a sumo box wrestler. But the expectation is, I mean, I always thought the expectation is you're supposed to be as light as you can, because I guess it wouldn't be for, you're right. I had a little bit of that because this guy is a head and a half taller and God, 50, 60, 75 pounds heavier.
Yeah. He's got, I don't know how much muscle on him, but a lot.
He's a fucking beast, man.
Yeah.
And can act. Like, these guys should be, like, maybe a buddy, like a Bad Boys, only more, like, awesome, less Arnold funny, and just straight up awesome.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, a team like that.
Oh, no, they need to reboot Predator and have Victor Drago be Arnold Schwarzenegger and have Michael B. Jordan be the Carl Weathers character.
There you go.
Boom. That's gold. That's gold. Call me, somebody. Let's make this happen. All right, that's it. That's our coverage of Creed 2. There are a couple movies I think we might be debating whether we're going to see in December, but we're not quite sure, and we're going to be working pretty intensely on getting the Christmas stuff out for you guys, for your club members, from now until that's out. And then we usually try to take a week or two off to be with our families during Christmas. So I'm not sure, and I know there's not a big Star Wars. I think there's a Fantastic Beast that came out, maybe even tonight, that Cecily and I probably should see and talk about. But I don't know. I don't know if there's anything coming in December that's going to lure us out of bald movie semi-retirement. But if this is the last one we do for 2018, what a great way to end the year, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Thank you for all your support. Thanks for being a club member, and we'll hope to see you for some more movies, maybe in December, but definitely in 2019. We'll have another slate of first run movies. Until that time, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
Good night.